grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Will you be seated for a moment, please? Just a word of welcome to all who gather here this day. If you happen to be a guest with us, a special welcome to you. If you're joining us on the YouTube live stream, we welcome you. If you're listening into the Cathedral Audio Podcast, welcome to you as well. If you're here with a family and have young children, I'll just remind you that it's not wrong to get up and wander about a bit if that's necessary. There are some items there in the back corner that might provide some distraction that might be helpful, and we're glad to have you all here. A couple of other things by way of announcement. Just if you're newer with us and you're sort of looking for a way to find your way through the various books and the paper that you were handed as you entered this morning, the order of service, so the map for the worship, you'll find on the inside back page of that bulletin leaflet. And just a little explanation, the numbers there that are hymn numbers are all hymns from the blue-colored hymn book. The other numbers refer to page numbers in the green-colored book of alternative services. So that includes the ones that are listed after the bullet marks to the right-hand side of the order of service, and also those that are in brackets. And those are pointers to pages in the service book where you'll find music for the various parts. So there's an attempt to kind of guide you in that way as well. So today we're using two books. One is the blue hymn book, the other is the green service book. And if you need some help getting through, don't hesitate to ask someone who looks like they've been here for a while. So they'd be happy to help you. Just a note about communion. When it comes time for that, we are going to be at the high altar this morning. So when you're coming forward to make communion, and you're invited to do that if you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it's your custom to do that in your home church, if we form two lines up the center and on up to through the chancel and to the communion rail, we can come forward that way and return by way of the side doors and down the side aisles, and that'll help facilitate our movement. We're not administering communion by way of intinction at this time. That is, we're not dipping the bread in the wine. If it's your intention not to drink from the common chalice, then it's fine for you to make your communion in one kind, which means the bread only. And please do that. If you're looking to come forward as a member of the family of God, but you would prefer not to make communion, if you place your arms this way, that indicates to the administrators that you're requesting a blessing. And if there's a need for gluten-free bread, we also have that. Please just indicate that to me at the time, and I'll make sure that you get that. Our condolences this week to Mary Pugh, whose husband of a cousin died this past week in the UK. So we're Tim Lester. We're remembering him in our prayers and remembering those who mourn his passing as well. Also, just a note, and I kind of missed this last week, but I shouldn't have. Alex Pope, this year, she's laughing already. Alex Pope was named a Black Cat Scholar at Fredericton High and Female Student of the Year. So that is really great. Congratulations, Alex. I think there were some other awards in there too, but that's the high spot. So, but our congratulations to you, and also to Claire McKnight, who's also graduating this year, right? Yeah. So, our best to all those, and the graduations this week, right? Yeah. Just a reminder again that Fairline Place around the corner on Queen Street. They offer rental to more senior individuals, and they have some vacancies at the moment. And so find them on the web or give them a call. They'd be happy to talk to you. And and we might just keep Fairline Place in our prayers. And I have a note here about an information session for Belize. Now, I'm not sure if there's somebody that was going to speak to that. Are you going to speak to that?
I don't have anything prepared.
You don't have anything prepared. Well, do you know something that... okay, well, why don't you come? And you can tell us what you know, and that'll be helpful. Thanks, Alex.
Hi, everybody. So there's an information session next Sunday after the 10:30 service for the Belize mission trip that is being planned for 2026. So we'd love to see people stay, even if you're not thinking that you'd like to be a part of one of the away teams or home teams. It's still great to learn about what's happening, and we'll have information about timelines, about what the trip is. We'll have some people speaking that have gone before, so just learning. It'll probably be from about 11:45 to 1, so that's next Sunday. Yeah.
And just to put your mind at rest, it's not 25 minutes to 8. Just so that you know. And that's always a good thing, because it means I can preach as long as I want, and nobody will know what time it is. So. Yeah, so these things do happen from time to time. Anything else for announcements? We're worshiping, as I said, from the green-colored book of alternative services. And we're going to continue now with the Glory to God, which you'll find either in the BAS on page 186, or if you're looking for the music in the hymn book at number 686, and we'll stand as we sing.
Thank you. You reveal your salvation in all the world by sending to us Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Through your Holy Spirit, you give us a share in your life and love. Fill us with the vision of your glory, that we may always serve you and praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Excuse me. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths. I was brought forth when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My soul.
Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
The Gospel of Christ.
Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The version of Christian faith that is ours, and I say version because one of the greatest observable sins of the church is that it has divided and splintered throughout the centuries. Some of those denominations nowadays even refuse denominational reference in their titles. And many of those breakout groups bear little resemblance to the belief, teaching, and practice of the early church. One of the characteristics of the English, that is the Anglican church, is that there is a constant pressure to reach deep into the historical faith and practice of the church, and the willingness to bend our ways to better reflect what has been accepted through centuries of orthodoxy, that is, right belief. There can be little wonder why the passage that is the gospel on this Trinity Sunday was chosen. In these few verses, John recalls Jesus' words in which he clearly speaks about God in the context of relationship. When the Spirit comes, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. The God worshipped by the universal, historic, and apostolic church is best understood as three entities in divine relationship. We know relationships are complicated. No less so for the persons of God. After decades of debate, the church concluded that there are three persons or personalities of God: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that these three are somehow, mysteriously, one God. So as Christians, we pray to the Father through the Son and in the Holy Spirit. The standard Anglican collect includes the three. We baptize that way in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, the word Trinity cannot be found in the Bible, it's often argued. And it's true. Even still, three persons in one God is a challenge to comprehend by way of human logic. But it still remains the best way to describe the depth and mystery of an undescribable God. Lest we be persuaded to think that the debate of what to call God has ended, it has not. Should we? Can we continue to address God with male gender pronouns has been the hot theological question for the last several decades. So here's our dilemma. Whenever we speak of God, we only have at our disposal human language. Language has its limitations. Gets us in all kinds of hot water. At best, it attempts to express concepts. For Christians talking about God, personal pronouns are much preferred to inanimate ones. That is to say, God is a person in relationship, not a thing. Referring to God as He has been considered a better option than to address God as it, since that would be idolatry. And that's not because God has a gender, but because God is a person. God has a personality. And so the theological argument goes, we should also feel free to refer to God as she, since God is above, beyond, and the creator and author of even human gender. It continues to be debated because there are solid arguments on both sides of the question. On the one hand, we need to acknowledge that God is above and beyond our human experience and the limited ways we name God in the world. Some argue that Jesus was a man, that he called God Father, and contributors to the New Testament used his and he in reference to the Spirit. Those words, I think, reflected the time in which they were written. One of the most challenging tasks of biblical study is to transfer concepts and meaning from one time in history and culture with one set of understandings forward to our own as accurately as possible. The doctrine of God as Trinity may be most helpful in that it should remind us that despite our very best efforts, our God is too small. Whatever idea we have of who God it's too small. Try to nail down the details too firmly and too finely tune what we mean when we describe God, and we quickly limit the understanding and the attributes of God, and it all becomes inaccurate at best and severely distorted at the worst. That's why our spiritual ancestors in the Jewish faith never uttered God's name. No human word provided adequate expression. For Christians, our situation is a little bit different because the person of Jesus revealed to us the personality of God. And that happened in a whole new way. In Jesus, God became human. So, you know, our world celebrates both Mother's Day and Father's Day. If we give it much thought, what we hold up on each of those days are the particular gifts each bring to the important role of parenthood. It's not that one is more important than the other. Both bring unique characteristics to what it means to be a parent. Wholeness is difficult, if not impossible, for just one or the other. Surely when Jesus instructed his disciples and us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven," he didn't mean to somehow restrict the experience of God to only gender male characteristics of love and care. Jesus once described himself as a mother hen. As a mother hen who gathers her chicks, he said. Does the name we use for God, like the Trinity, help to expand our notion of God, or does it impose unnecessary and less helpful restriction, leading us away from the truth? And that's the question. If in-depth study of the Holy Trinity were our goal today, there are far better and informative texts to consult than John 16. The gospel may point most to recognizing that even after 2,000 years, we still have a long way to go to live out just what we know from the teaching of Jesus. The Spirit, His Spirit, continues to guide us into all truth. The hint there may be that truth is relational. There's the what of the truth, but there's also the how. Speak the truth in love, St. Paul said. Well, that's hard to do in a culture where too often the how negates the truth. In a world that too often reduces truth to the facts and only the facts, we can be reminded that God is a relational God and that the ways of God are relational ways. God calls us into relationship, into His church. And we have a dependable guide in the Holy Spirit, along with the Word of God, but full comprehension of the truth, Paul said, we know only in part, requires our patience. It awaits the promised culmination and consummation of all that there is into unity. Amen. The truth and teaching of a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is found deposited for us in the ancient creeds of the Christian Church. One of those being the Nicene Creed. And I invite you to turn with me in the Green Book of Alternative Services to page 188. And as we stand, we'll confess our faith. Let us confess our faith as we say, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Holy God, you are more than we can know or name. Yet we call on you again and again, for you alone are God. In your wisdom, hear us in petitions ending in your mercy. By responding, hear our prayer. We cannot live apart from you, for you call us into your triune life. Your steadfast love surrounds us all our days, wherever we may be, outside the gates of welcome or in some inner circle. You call to us, delighting in the humanity you created. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the strengthening of your church, the body of your Son, especially remembering the Anglican Church of Mexico and Enrique, their primate, the ecclesiastical province of Ontario and Anne, their metropolitan and our acting primate, and the provincial council, David, our archbishop, and Matthias, bishop of our companion diocese of Ho. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We come before you in thanksgiving for all the gifts you have given that delight us so, for seasonal beauty and the lives of those who bless us beyond their knowing, for this community of faith by which we are nurtured and challenged, for opportunities to serve you by serving others, for goals accomplished, and for the gift of life granted new each day. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We come before you today humbly and hopeful in need, for those we know who are suffering today because of illness in mind, body, or spirit. We commend to your care Gary, Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Dwight, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Judy, Carolyn, Jacob, Karuthika, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, Janice, Dolph, David and Maureen, Heather, Carol, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, and any others whom you hold in your heart today. For those trying to make a difficult decision, for those grieving a loss, an ending, a dream deferred, we pray for healing and strength in every broken place in our lives. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We long for the hope you alone can give that does not disappoint, but rolls away stones of death and despair. We remember Tim Lester and all who have died. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those whose livelihood is precarious, for those who live at the edge of poverty, for those who live in temporary shelters and tenuous provision. In the public square and in the privacy of our conscience, help us find the will and the way toward a common good. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We come before you earnestly and urgently for this world in turmoil, for chaos loose in the natural world, drought and floods, earthquakes and storms. Heal the earth, we pray. May those who are starving, thirsty, or left in destruction's debris be restored. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the turmoil we cause through war and violence, hatred and prejudice, by our indifference and by our calculation. Bring an end to our warring ways until civilians and soldiers live in safety and peace. Root out of our hearts the seeds of bigotry and narrow-mindedness. Stir us from apathy. Increase in us the will to love as you love. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we have done so much to disrupt, disengage, and destroy what you have created and called good. Determined to delight in us, help us to delight in you by how we live and how we play, until you greet us and welcome us into the fullness of the never-ending joy of your kingdom. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
And at the middle of page 191, let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Loving God, receive all we offer you this day. Grant that hearing your word and responding to your spirit, we may share in your divine life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The Eucharistic prayer is in the form of the prayer at Eucharistic Prayer 3, and that's on page 198 of the Book of Alternative Services. You're encouraged to remain standing, but if you find that you need to be seated or you would rather kneel, you're certainly welcome to do so. Page 198.
The Lord be with you, and also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, Creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise, because in the mystery you disclose to us, you reveal your glory as the glory of your Son and of the Holy Spirit. Three persons equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, yet one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your everlasting glory. Therefore, with all the company of heaven, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation.
By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we stand, let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, may we who have received this Eucharist worship you in all that we do and proclaim the glory of your majesty. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us go forth in peace, in the name of God.